Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to be able to say we've caught up with Dr. Peter Navarro as he makes his rounds up on Capitol Hill. You may hear a little bit of ambient noise as he's walking the streets up there of the hill. He is, of course, a professor of economics at the University of California, Irvine, but more to the point for our purposes, he is the author of many books, including most recently a blockbuster, Crouching Tiger, What China's Militarism Means for the World. He is a multimedia star, as a matter of fact, having turned this book into a series of videos, one of which deals with a topic very much on our mind this week. Peter, of course, we've commemorated earlier in it the 74th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. You're talking about the next Pearl Harbor, perhaps being dealt to us by China. Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Good to have you with us, and talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Frank, and your listeners are sophisticated. I think they'd like the article and video I have in the National Interest online. And let me just walk you through that, because it's very interesting, the parallels between the Imperial Japan of the 1930s and on the eve of the December 7th attack and a rising China of today. And you start with the goals of Imperial Japan. Basically, it had a vision of this so-called co-prosperity sphere, which entailed capturing the markets and resources of Asia. And Imperial Japan believed that it had a divine right to the entire Asian continent. And on the eve of World War II, on December 6th, Japan controlled much of China, most of French Indochina. It controlled all of the Korean Peninsula as well as Taiwan, which is from where it would send its fighter bombers to drive MacArthur out of the Philippines. Its military was poised to push the British out of Hong Kong, Singapore, Borneo, Malaysia, and Burma. And if you kind of look at that and then look at rising China's activities and territorial claims today, there's not a lot of difference. China claims by historical right much of the same territory. For example, by historical right, it claims 80% of the South China Sea, which is one-third of global shipping and one of the most important arteries of trade in the world. It claims the Senkaku Islands from Japan, which Japan has held those for over 100 years. It claims the continental shelf across the East China Sea all the way up to the 12-mile territorial limit of Japan. It certainly has a presence with its vassal state on the Korean Peninsula, and of course it covets Taiwan. So, I mean, there's really no difference in my mind between the intentions of China today and the intentions of Imperial Japan on the eve of World War II.
That's very chilling, and I want to particularly talk about what the Chinese have been doing and what you document in a series of videos now, Peter, as well as a documentary film that's nearing completion, in terms of the military capacity for a devastating, perhaps far worse attack on us than Pearl Harbor was in its day.
Yeah, let me walk you through that, because my fear is that China will hit either Guam or the Kadena Air Force Base, which is the hub of our air power in Asia, at some point in a similar type of sneak attack, and for the similar reasons that Japan did. And what's interesting, Frank, about Imperial Japan and rising China is that when Japan turned from backwardness in the Meiji Restoration in 1860, within 20 years, all of its warships were being built by the French and the British. And today, of course, we've got the same kind of thing. We had Deng Xiaoping's opening in the 70s, and now the Navy of China basically couldn't float without French diesel engines. Submarines couldn't go without air-independent propulsion systems from the Germans. They've stolen our Aegis battle management system. And if you walk your way through the weapons, the largest missile arsenal in the world and the most diverse, it runs from the tactical and theater all the way to the intercontinental and everything in between, both cruise and ballistic missiles that are kind of standard missiles, but then it also has the exotics of the anti-ship ballistic missile, which can hit an aircraft carrier from 1,000 miles away in the Taiwan Strait, zigzagging at 30 knots. It's got the hypersonic glide vehicle, which is capable of reaching speeds of up to Mach 10 and is very, very good at evading missile defense systems. So, you know, if you send salvos of cruise missiles and a few anti-ship ballistic missiles at an aircraft carrier strike group in the Taiwan Strait, that's pretty much toast. And then if you're able to evade the missile defense systems and hit the runways of Kadena or Guam with these hypersonic glide vehicles, that would basically paralyze our air power. So you got missiles, you've got mines. You know, this is really interesting. These are not your grandfather's mines, you know, the stick mines sitting on a chain. You've got these things called rocket rising mines, Frank. High-tech, 100 ships go by, they let them go by, but they can detect the acoustic and magnetic signatures of, say, a Japanese destroyer or an American aircraft carrier. And once fired, those things can close on a ship at 70 miles an hour in the water and basically break the hull.
Peter, let me ask you, we're almost out of time, and I'm very mindful that you've got a lot to say here, but I did want to touch on one other aspect of what China's up to. We've been told by the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter, that the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement now before the United States Congress, and you're, of course, up there on Capitol Hill, and I'm sure you'll be talking to people about it. You have an article in The Hill newspaper today on the subject. Do you buy Ash Carter's claim that TPP, as it's called, is worth a carrier battle group to the United States, and therefore, you know, it ought to be approved by the Congress and seen as a basis upon which we can relax about some of the concerns you've just described?
No, it's just the opposite. I think that the TPP will actually further erode our national security. And the TPP, what's interesting about it, Frank, is that it's the same story 15 years later. I mean, in 2000, we had a Democratic president in Bill Clinton and a Republican Congress pushing China into the World Trade Organization on the grounds that it would be great for America and strengthen us.
And that they would abide by the rules, too. Let's not forget.
And they would abide by the rules. And that's the problem. They came in, they didn't abide by the rules. We wound up losing over 70,000 factories to China. I mean, 70,000 factories in about 20 million jobs we've lost to China because we're growing so much more slowly. And now, fast forward to 2015, we got the same damn thing. It's Barack Obama, Democratic president. We got a Republican Congress. They're pushing the same thing with a little bit different spin that, oh, somehow this is going to help us counter China. But what's going to happen, a couple things, China is going to go into Vietnam with investment, make stuff there, and then ship it to the U.S. duty-free. They're not going to miss a beat in terms of penetrating our markets. In fact, TPP will be a wedge to gain entry into our markets. So that's number one. And number two, one of the whole points of my Crouching Tiger book, Frank, is to basically show the connection between a weak economy and a weak manufacturing base and a weak tax base and the inability of this country to defend ourselves. And we cannot afford to send more jobs to Asia. I mean, the South Korea trade agreement we just did 2 years ago, it's like they said the same thing about that. Hey, that's going to create a bunch of jobs. And the trade deficit has ballooned.
Peter Navarro, subjects on which you are expert as a professor of economics and public policy of the University of California, Irvine. Thank you for your time today. Congratulations on the new book, Crouching Tiger, What China's Militarism Means for the World. We look forward to the video versions as well. Check out his work at National Interest and Real Clear Defense as well. Peter, keep up the good work, my friend. We'll talk with you soon. Michael Rowan joins us next on Venezuela and more, straight ahead.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.